ran across something. Strong Towns. And you can visit their website at strongtowns.org. And one of the things that they pledge is that they're changing everything about the North American pattern of development. And what did we just hear from London Deputy Mayor Sean Lewis? We've got a conundrum in this city. We're growing really fast. And so we need ideas on what to do. And, well, we're going to have to think about things differently. And I love when things are thought about differently and then those ideas are presented. In fact, Strong Towns has illustrated something that's been happening in Medicine Hat that we're going to talk about. Joining us right now is Edward Erfurt, who is the Community Action Director with Strong Towns. Edward, great to have you with us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about Strong Towns first. Can you give us a little history?
Yes. Yeah, so our founder, Chuck Marone, began writing a blog back in 2008. This is a time in the States when our economy collapsed because of the big housing bubble. And looking back as a planner and as an engineer, he began to realize that we were developing our cities much differently today than we had 8 decades ago. And the things that we are doing today in our development patterns led to lots of growth where our cities expanded, we saw new roadways, we saw new housing, but all of those decisions and that type of development pattern was resulting in making our communities poorer and made it so that we were making promises about maintaining our current infrastructure without able to fund that long-term maintenance of those projects.
Bingo. And I think we're seeing that in so many different places. So from there, has it just been maybe collecting of ideas from different areas? Because some areas will come up with some pretty ingenious ways to deal with some of the issues that they're running into.
Yeah, so we are actually a media organization, and we are out there looking for these communities that are dealing with these struggles and how they are responding to those struggles. So on our website, we have almost 9,000 articles. We share 2 to 3 a day on our blog. We have a YouTube site. And most recently, we've been going out, taking all of that knowledge and working not just in a speaking event, but working over a 2-year time frame with the community to really roll up our sleeves with the community and help them explore these ideas and how they could be applied at the most local level.
Love this. Okay, well, you can check that out at strongtowns.org. We're talking right now with Edward Erfurt, who is the Community Action Director with Strong Towns. And all towns are looking to do things maybe a little less expensively than they could if they just threw something out there. Everybody wants to save money right now. We just outlined the province of Ontario and the predicament that we're in. One of the things that caught our attention that you had highlighted, one of those articles, dealt with Medicine Hat, the idea that if you want to build a playground structure in a park, let's say, you're going to shell out thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And somebody there said, wait a minute, what if we did something different? Edward, what did they do?
Yeah, so they had, like most folks, a desire to build a play structure within a park. It's about $300,000 to buy one of these pieces of equipment. That's a big investment. And Medicine Hat's a fairly large city, so not only would they have to do this in one park, there are like 10 that they'd have to do this in. And all of us have tight budgets. Medicine Hat has a tight budget, and they, you know, $300,000 would be the entire budget, let alone $3 million, which they didn't have. But when we look at these parks and these giant leaps, one of the things at Strong Towns that we talk about is really what is the next smallest thing that we could do as an organization, as an individual, as a department that could address a local struggle. In Medicine Hat, with these playground pieces of equipment, they weren't quite sure which type and where it would be would work best for that park. And their staff, which are just an incredible group of folks, came up with the most simple idea, which is brilliant. They actually created a trunk of equipment that they could take to every park in the city. And in that would have equipment like a parachute for little young toddlers. They had sports equipment for the middle school and high school kids. And their Parks and Rec staff could go to a park, bring out the trunk, and calibrate it for the folks that are out there that would want to use that facility. And the beauty of that is that they could write down what, like, is this a park that lots of toddlers are in? Is this a park that the middle school soccer field should be in? They could test all of this stuff to figure out where at some point they would make those big investments. And where $300,000 would impact maybe 30 or 50 children in one neighborhood, $3,000 gets to impact, positively impact, every single child in the city of Medicine Hat.
That is genius stuff. You just took two zeros. You take 300,000 down to 3,000, and you're able to be a whole lot more flexible, too, because if all of a sudden the demographics of an area change and that park, instead of having lots of toddlers in it, now those toddlers have grown into preteens or teenagers, you could adjust to that as well. This is brilliant.
And these are, we call these small bets. These are small bets. We see this in the private sector all the time. But in local government, we are afraid to make small bets because some will succeed, like in Medicine Hat, but you also may have a failure. And the failure is a small failure. If nobody showed up to parks, $3,000, it's a lot of money, but not $300,000. So these small bets allow us to experiment in the city, trying out all types of new things. This has inspired in Medicine Hat other departments to follow the same approach, not only in parks, but in how they deal with traffic calming and roadway improvements, how they deal with master planning in the city, and how they deal with social work.
Small bets. I'm loving this. Edward, thank you so much for outlining this for us. We can find out more, or you can sit back and read a whole lot of articles at strongtowns.org, because these ideas are coming. And who knows, maybe you hit on something and say, did you see this? And then we'll say, no, we didn't. Hey, City Hall, did you see this? And maybe it impacts here as well. Edward, thank you again, and have yourself a great rest of the day.
Great, thank you.
That's Edward Erfurt, Community Action Director with Strong Towns. This is what we need. Aggregators are beautiful things. The internet has a great ability. It also has nasty abilities. And we don't focus in on great abilities enough. Aggregators. Strong Towns becomes an aggregator of information. As Edward says, they're a media company. An aggregator of information detailing what towns anywhere are doing. And you think, look what they're doing. Copycatism is an important thing. It makes sports go round. It can propel our world a whole lot, too.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.